As we come closer to the last day of the Easter season, Pentecost, our readings speak to us about the Holy Spirit. In my life, Holy Spirit has sometimes been a hard name to understand about the third person of the Trinity, until I learned that in Hebrew, and in Greek as well, the word for spirit, it's like, what? I mean, to us who are bodily, like, what is a spirit? You can't grasp it, you can't, like, see it, really. Until I realized it's the same word for breath. It's the same word for wind. I know what breath is. I know what wind is. That really helped me to understand who the Holy Spirit is. You know, one could say, in a certain way, that Jesus, in dying for us and rising for us, the whole purpose was to save us from sin and hell and death, of course, right? But the whole purpose was to restore us to life. And remember that in Genesis, God breathed into Adam's nostrils. The breath of God came into our first parents and gave them life, divine life, which they then lost when they sinned. You ever get the wind knocked out of you? That's what happened to Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God, they turned away, and the wind, the divine breath, the Holy Spirit, got knocked out of them. And ever since the Garden of Eden, we've been exhausted. We've been dying to catch our breath. We haven't been able to live. We've been just huffing and puffing, hunched over, like when you got side stitches on the running track. At Pentecost, that's all reversed. As the Father breathes into us his little Christs, his little sons and daughters adopted, he breathes into us the Holy Breath, the Holy Spirit who is God. That's what it's all about. If you believe in Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit, you're alive again. You have life, you have breath. Last night we had our Spirit and Fire event right here in this church, and it was beautiful. The wind of the Spirit was moving. People were going from darkness to light. People who did not believe in God were believing in God. Breath was restored. Life was given because of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him, in the gospel today, the another advocate. He says, I'll give you another advocate. Another word for that is paraclete. Another word for that is lawyer. Yeah, seriously, a lawyer. Someone who steps up to speak for you, to defend you against accusations. Like, ever, you know, hear someone making fun of your friend when your back's turned, and you're like, hey, that's my friend, shut up. Like, there is someone called the accuser in the scriptures. His name is the evil one. He accuses God's people. He throws our sins against us. He throws temptations against us. He lies to us and says, you're not God's children. Who do you think you are? You don't belong to God. You don't belong to God's love. He accuses us and lies, and our paraclete, our advocate, our lawyer, our defender, and our consoler, God's breath steps forward and says, no, no, no. Be gone. This one belongs to the Father. This one is loved by the Father. The Holy Spirit speaks up for us to defend us against all those lies that come at us from the evil one. So we don't lose our breath again. We don't become exhausted again trying to defend ourselves. So who is the first advocate that the Father sends? That's a real question. Who's the first advocate the Father sends? Okay, let's do youth ministry. Okay, any question, youth ministry, the answer is basically Jesus. Okay, so who's the first advocate? Jesus, okay. Who's the second advocate the Father sends? The Holy Spirit, the paraclete. Yes, okay, you got this. So we have two advocates, we have two defenders, God's Son and God's Spirit. And the cool thing is that for the apostles, the disciples, before Pentecost, they've already seen Jesus risen, they know he's alive, they're full of joy, and they're primed to, like, they're like, Jesus, like, what's next? What are we doing now? I mean, nothing can stop you. And what does Jesus say? I just want you to wait a while. I'm going to go to the Father. You're not going to see me anymore. I'll still be with you, but you're not going to see me. I'm going to go to the Father. There's someone else you need. They're like what? You're here. We have enough, Jesus. Jesus actually says, you need also the Holy Spirit. Wait for him to come at Pentecost in the upper room. It's like for 3 years, Jesus had been like filling the fireplace of his church with like wood and kindling and timbers. He had been just stockpiling this energy in his disciples, but it wasn't yet lit. They had heard his teaching. They had seen his miracles. They knew who their master was. They knew he was the Lord and God, and they had to wait for the fire to come to ignite that fuel, to let the potential of that fuel have an impact, have it bring light and heat and breath. The wind. That's what happened at Pentecost. That's what happens to us when we allow the gift of our baptism and our confirmation to catch fire. The Spirit and the fire. What are some ways that we can welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and catch this spark again? Number one, ask. It's that simple, really. The oldest, most ancient prayer of the church for the Holy Spirit is, come, Holy Spirit. Say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Pretty easy, right? If you pray that several times a day and you ask, like, Father, like, I want more of this, of your divine breath, you will get it. But he wants you to ask. So pray every day, pray in the morning, come, Holy Spirit. Desire him. Number two, read the Acts of the Apostles. After Pentecost, the disciples went forth to preach and do miracles and to live their faith, to serve, to love. And the Acts of the Apostles is full of moments where the Holy Spirit is acting. Just like we saw Peter and John go to the Samaritan Christians and lay hands on them and ask the Holy Spirit to come, and he comes. Read the Acts of the Apostles, and you'll learn more about who the Holy Spirit is. Number three, pray the Pentecost Novena, the 9-day prayer waiting for the Holy Spirit. This starts this Thursday, okay? This Thursday it was usually Ascension Day when Christ ascended into heaven. It was a holy day of obligation. It still is, but we move it to Sunday. This Thursday, start praying once a day the Pentecost Novena. Look it up. Number four, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit anew, discover your charisms. A charism is a spiritual gift God gives you, not for your own benefit, but to build up the church. It's other-centered, but it's given to you. And all of you have them in different kinds. Some of them are humble and simple, like hospitality, administration, gentleness. Some are more visible, like healings and miracles and prophecy, but it doesn't matter which ones you have, it just matters that you use them. What are the ones God has given you? Learn about your spiritual charisms. Number five, take on a Marian devotion. As Catholics, we love Mary. All Christians should love Mary. It's the mother of Jesus. God chose her. The angel said, "Blessed are you among women." Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Who is the person in history who received the Holy Spirit the most after Jesus? Mary. The Spirit overshadowed her. The Spirit conceived Jesus in her. She had no barrier to the breath of God. If you come to learn from Mary and imitate her, you will receive more of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you will conceive within yourself more of Christ. So if you don't have any kind of Marian devotion, if you're like, I never talk to Mary, I never pray to Mary, I never do any of that stuff, start doing something. Maybe pray the rosary every now and then. One of the most powerful prayers we have. Number six, if you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, repent of your sins. Go to confession. Tell God you're sorry. Number seven, if you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit, strive for the virtue of humility. God opposes the proud. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pride is the most ancient sin of the devil and our parents, thinking that we're God instead of being creatures beloved by God. Strive for humility. Take the last place. Open the door for someone else. Stop thinking that I'm so amazing, I'm so great, I can do it all on my own. No, we all need help from God. Strive to serve, strive to be generous, be humble, and the Spirit will find a landing pad for himself. You know, when helicopters can go almost anywhere, any terrain almost, but they need some little square of a landing pad to land. And if there is a single power line crossing that or a single tree branch, any wise helicopter pilot is not going to land there. He waits until the path is clear. He doesn't need a lot of space to land, but he needs a little chunk that's ready. And if you grow in humility, you carve out that little spot, however big it is, for the Holy Breath to land and remain with you. Seven things, seven gifts, 7 days coming up of the week. Let's all do something to welcome the Holy Spirit. And we can start by saying tonight, "Come, Holy Spirit."